We appreciate God's goodness to our life today. He's given us new mercies this morning, and I'm certainly thankful for that. Lord willing, we're going to have some preaching, and I'm going to ask Brother Robert Ash. He pastors the Fellowship Baptist Church over in the Valdez area. He supports camp meeting, been part of camp meeting. I appreciate Brother Robert, and I want you to hear him gladly as he comes this morning. Each man will get 20 minutes apiece. We're going to have some singing. The Lord has graciously blessed us with those who can sing, and we want to use them to magnify the Lord. Brother Robert, you come around, preach to us what God's laid on your heart. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank God for this opportunity. Thank Brother Steve and Brother Jamie and everybody that has a hand in this meeting. Thank God for what he's done in my heart around these shavings through the years. And how he's helped and blessed me. And desire your prayers this morning. Brother Jamie come back here and said, he said to go ahead and get you ready. I said, I don't think that's possible. Lord, being my helper this morning, I'm going to ask you, if you will, take your Bibles and go with us to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8 this morning. This will be a familiar passage of Scripture. I hope and pray that the Lord will make it fresh in our hearts today. Luke chapter number 8, when you find your place, look down in verse number 22. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 22. It says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, I need your help. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd be magnified and exalted above anything else that's going on today. Lord, to get rid of any selfishness, any pride. Lord, any self-conceit and self-exaltation. God, help me. Lord, just to be a vessel in your hands. You use me however you see fit. Get glory and honor to your sweet name. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever heard somebody say that you cannot see the forest because of the trees? I find myself a lot of times when life hits me, there's a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, I can't see the Savior because of the storm I'm in. And the majority of preaching out of this text, a lot of people will focus on the storm. I mean, you count the number of times that this storm is mentioned. Three times we see the word water. Three times we see the word wind. Two times we see the word lake. And one time we see the word storm. So that means nine times in these four verses of Scripture, the storm is mentioned. And that's a lot. I'll give you that. But that's not the top thing that's mentioned in this passage of Scripture. Nine times the storm is mentioned. 10 times he's mentioned. See, the majority of testimonies, if you listen down at prayer meeting night, there'll be a lot of talking going on about storms. There'll be a lot of talking going on about problems and issues. And I'm not against bringing your problems and your issues to the Lord and to the church. But don't let that be the main thing you stand up and talk about. Right? If you're going to talk about the storm nine times, at least talk about him 10. And I just want to preach this morning on don't miss the forest for the trees. Don't miss the Savior because of the storm. If you look in the Old Testament, One of the ways that they recognized God and His power was He had power over nature. And in Psalm 65, it talks about, by His strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. In Psalm 106, verses 8 and 9, it says, He saved them for His namesake, that He might make His mighty power be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Now the disciples, they've been around Jesus. They've seen Him raise the dead. They've seen Him cool fevered brows. They've seen Him heal the sick. But they ain't ever seen anybody do what He's fixing to do right here. Everybody talks about the weather, and that's all they do. You know why? Because can't nobody do nothing about it. Right? Every year at camp meeting, that's one of the main topics is how hot it is. Or last week, my gosh, I don't even remember it being this cold before. I sure would like a breeze to blow. You know? It's awful muggy out here. That's the majority of the talk going on. That's all people do is they talk about it because they can't do nothing about it. I'm preaching to people underneath this tabernacle. All you do is talk about your family problems, your health problems, your social problems, your financial problems. You know why? Because you can't do nothing about it. If you could have fixed it, you'd have fixed it years ago. I want to look in this text and I want to look at two truths that we cannot miss if we're going to have calm in the storm. Don't miss the forest for the trees. Don't miss the Savior's power in these first couple of verses. Now this might seem simple, but I hope and pray it blesses you. I'm telling you, God has the power over every day. It says it came to pass on a certain day. What's so certain about this day? Well, the disciples don't know it yet, but God's picked this day out to send a storm their way. Everything happens on a certain day. Christ knew about this storm. He knew about this storm the day before. That's why He didn't tell them to get in the boat the day before, because the storm's coming the next day. He's got the power over every day. He's got the power over the trips and how you're going to get there. He said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. He knows where you're at. He knows where you need to go. And He knows how to get you there. My problem is, I know where I'm at, and I know where I'm heading, but I don't know what's going to happen between here and there. But thank God He does. He knows. He knows. And it ain't up to me to get me there. It's up to Him. Hey, man, He's got the word. Brother Dana said, if you get a word, talked about it yesterday, wait on that word. They have the word. Let us go over to the other side of the lake. He's got the power over every day. He's got the power over their destinations and their trips. He's even got the power during downtime. It says in verse 23, as they sailed, He fell asleep. Now it's no bother to the disciples that Jesus went to sleep. Because if you're reading verses prior to this, He's been preaching, He's been teaching. They completely understand why Jesus is tired. Yeah. But what's amazing is Jesus had more power asleep than they did while they were awake. And when it seems like God has forgotten you, I'm just here to tell you He ain't. He's more in control when it seems like He ain't got a clue than you are when you think you know it all. When it seems like God's forgotten you, He ain't. Think about this. He fell asleep. There comes down a storm of wind on the lake. And it said they were filled with water, which means it's very possible that while Jesus is asleep on the boat, some water's hitting Him. And some water's touching Him. Hebrews chapter 4 says we have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You want me to tell you what it don't say? It don't say He's tore up about it. It just says He's touched. He knows about it. That thing that's got you and me tore up, it ain't bothering Him one bit. He's still sitting on the throne. You read Psalm 2, It says, he that sitteth on the throne shall laugh. It ain't got him tore up. No. When I was preaching through Psalms and I was preaching through Psalm 2 and I come to that passage of Scripture, I said, you know, if I'm sitting in my living room and I hear a bunch of racket outside, you know what I'm probably going to do? Get up. Because I don't know what's going on out there. All this noise and ruckus and chaos going on down here, you look up there on the throne, he's still sitting there. It ain't got him tore up. He's in control. Now listen, yes, if it matters to you, it matters to him. But he ain't as tore up as you are about it. He knows what he's a-doing. That thing that's tearing me and you up, that's probably the best thing we got going for us. Why? Because that's what's going to drive us to our knees and say, Master, Lord, we need your help. We've done everything we can do. I've tried this and I've tried that, but it ain't a-working. He's got the power. Don't miss the forest for the trees. He's got the power over this tempest. And I want you to notice something. When the storm starts, the only one who's still calm is him. When we started our scripture, everybody was calm. But he's the only one who's still calm in the storm, when the storm starts. And that's what's really got us tore up. You know, I talked about Jesus knowing the days. That's why it tears us up. We don't know what a day holds. So when we get blindsided by a storm, that's all we can see. We're overtaken. I played football, and there was sometimes, don't ask me how many because I don't want to tell you. It was a few times I'd be running, chasing a ball carrier, and somebody come and blindside me. And when that happened, I have to admit to you, for a few seconds there, I didn't care where that ball carrier was. I was trying to figure out what's going to hit the ground first, my head or my feet. That's how it is in life. We don't know what a day. We don't know what's going to happen to us between the time we woke up till the time we pillow our head. But he does. And listen, the issue to having peace and calm, even when the storm's going on, ain't about what the storm's doing, where it's a-going, when it's a-coming, how fast the winds are blowing, how hard it's a-raining. How you going to have peace is to get where he's at. Find out where God's at in the midst of it. That's the only way you'll have peace in the storm. But here's what's fascinating. When they do come to him, they've already made up their mind what's going to happen. They don't even ask him to do nothing. They just go to him to try to inform him about what the situation is. I mean, you think about it. You read it, and I get this picture. I mean, they're running around, and one of them says, go get Jesus. So they run to him, and they say, hey, I just thought I'd let you know we're fixing to die. That's what it says. They're saying, Master, do you not care? We're perishing. Master, we perish. They really, in their mind, they probably think we ain't got time to ask him to do anything. It's long gone. The time for help's done passed. We're in trouble. This is it. How many times, man of God, how many times, church member, have you left church and you didn't even bother to ask God to help? You just went on your knees and she said, God, I'm done. I'm done. This is it. Can't do it no more. I'm finished. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. But what's amazing is Jesus don't get up and scold them about it. I mean, it says in Mark, they're crying out, Lord. Here in Luke, they're crying out, Master. I mean, it's chaos. Mark's account tells us also, though, that there were other little ships with them. I just want to tell you, you ain't the only boat in the lake. You ain't the only one going through trouble. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Them little ships need God too. We all need him. Like I said, these disciples, they were accustomed to storms on the sea, but they ain't ever been hit like they're getting hit right now. Why in the world would God allow such a storm to come in a time when they can't get no, they're out there in the middle of the ocean. They're fixing to die. I'll tell you why. Because when everything seems lost and everything seems hopeless, there's still a God in control that can say, peace, be still. And that's exactly what he does. Jesus steps up and says, peace, be still. Says he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. I really like that. You study out that word calm, you know what that means? It means, I mean, you got a picture. The winds are blowing, rains are coming down, waves are crashing everywhere. Jesus steps up and says, peace, be still, and there ain't even a ripple. The water laid down.
Amen.
You know what that says? That says if you showed up then and looked at the water, you'd say, well, I thought you said there was a storm here. There's no sign there ever was a storm. Brother Larry preached last night being justified by faith. Ain't you glad when you got saved? Jesus Christ spoke to your soul and your dead, depraved soul that was wrecked and ruined by sin and justified you. And now when God looks at you, there is no evidence that there ever was a sin. Why? Because he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. I'm preaching to people this morning underneath this tabernacle. Your kids, your grandkids, your family members, your church, they wouldn't even know half the storms you were in sin unless you told them about it. Why? Because there ain't a ripple. Thank God for the day he says, peace be still. He's got the power. Verse 25, he's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. He asked him one question, where is your faith? His first purpose is he wants to grow their faith. Now that's something we all need to do. We know we all need help in that area. Unfortunately for us though, the best place we're going to grow is smack dab in the middle of a storm. Because if there's any way we can do it, you best believe we're going to die trying. We're going to row and row and row. We're going to shovel water, shovel water, shovel water till our arms cramp, our legs are tired, and we can't do nothing but holler. He wants to grow their faith. He also wants to grow their fear. In Mark's account, Mark chapter 4, it tells us that when Christ spoke to the storm and then spoke to them, that the disciples feared exceedingly. Here in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, it says, they being afraid wondered. I mean, they got to the place they were fearing him more than they feared the storm. That's where we got to get to, church. That's why the majority of our testimonies and prayer meetings are full of storm, 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 storm. Because that's all we care about. Sad to say, you know why we request prayer for lost people a lot and the lost people in our family? Is because we think if they get saved, it'll make our life easier. And that's the only reason we want them to get saved. Because they're driving us up a wall. We're staying up late at night thinking about them. Wondering where they're at. Wondering what they're going through. We got to get to the place that we fear him more than we fear the storm. And also he wants to give us a glorious focus. So what is this? These disciples are more focused on him than they are the storm. Say, how do you know? Because I don't read where they got off the boat and Peter and Andrew looked at each other and said, brother, we about died back there. I don't see it. You know what I do see? It says when everything was said and done, they looked at each other and said, what manner of man is that? What kind of man is that? I ain't ever seen nobody do what he just did. I ain't ever seen somebody just calm the winds and calm the waves. I've got an idea. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. Say, preacher, how can I not miss the forest for the trees? Here's the key. How do you handle the calm? You say, I thought it was all about handling the storm. Get that out of your mind. You can't. You can't handle the storm. I can't handle the storm. The issue is, how do you handle the calm? Because later on in the text, there's going to be several there, a group of people there, going to be looking for more miracles, looking for more manifestations. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to turn around and leave. Why? There ain't nothing going on. It's too calm. And they think, well, if he ain't going to do nothing, we ain't hanging around. Our churches are full of people that unless something's going on, they don't care about God. But let something happen. There they are. The key is, remember, he's got the power and he has a purpose in all this. Don't miss him. There was another passage of scripture where they're out on the boat and Jesus comes walking on the water and it says he would have passed them by. How would he have passed them by if they would have kept focused on everything else? But when they called on him, they said, there he is. Holler at him. That's him. Then he stopped. I heard somebody talking one time and he was giving a testimony and his prayer was that he would live so close to God that everybody around him could never tell if he was in a storm or not. That was his prayer. And as soon as I heard that testimony, it's like the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, wouldn't it be a good day in your life when you live so close to me you didn't even know if you was in a storm or not? Don't miss the Savior because of the storm. If you get close enough to him, there may be a day you'll miss the storm because of the Savior. Amen. Preacher.